The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or considerable, we're so damn good. It's the story of your life. You're moving.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. It is January the 19th in the year of our Lord 2021. And a new era is upon us. Finally figured it out why I was feeling so good about this new era. Didn't see it coming. Had no idea it would unfold this way. But the Cleveland Browns actually are really back. I noted last night, just couldn't figure out why I was so happy yesterday. And normally at the end of a Browns season, for literally as long as I can remember, it's been gloom and doom. I don't remember 1964 when the Browns won at all. This is before the Super Bowl. They've never been to the Super Bowl. They've lost three AFC title games, all three to Denver. So I hate Denver. People know that. And we didn't win Sunday. Browns lost to KC. But after talking to my boys and my friends and the Browns community online, it became obvious that everyone was pretty happy. In fact, satisfied, excited, because the team, for the first time since the exile and return, actually has a plan and a coach and a GM and a QB and a roster that's set, that's going to be improved by the draft, and they're going to be really good next year. OBJ will be back. And so for the first time, we're satisfied. First time ever. Ever. I mean, you lose the fumble in the drive and you get blown out in one of the in those three games with Denver and you go home mad. Or you go 0-16 and you're despairing, or you go 1-15 and you say, how do we ever get out of this hole? Instead, we end up 12-6. I renewed my season tickets long ago, but I'm in a good mood. I'm in a great mood. The Browns and the Indians have a strange hook into me, but that's not unusual for Ohio people. The WHK 1420 audience know what I'm talking about. Am I not right, Cleveland? Am I not right, Columbus? I am right. That's why we're happy. It's the end of another era. It's the last full day that President Trump is president. It's Pardon Day. That's what it should be called. We've got President's Weekend and the 4th of July, and we've got Inauguration Day and New Year's Day and Christmas Day and Pardon Day. And every president does it. And it's when the old faithful of pardons erupts from 1600, and we'll see who's on there. Not a big deal. The big deal today and what I want to talk to you about is President-elect Biden's proposal on immigration. It's the only story. The proposal to spend COVID relief, $1.9 billion, that's going to go through the grinder. That's going to be it's a 60-vote deal in the Senate, so Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer have to agree. They just have to agree, and they will probably go about the same process that was used with the CARES Act with a slight bit more Democrat tilt than Republican tilt. But unless Mitch is happy and the Republican caucus is happy, and Mitch does a good job of making those one and the same, as I wrote in the Washington Post yesterday, it's not gonna come out. But it needs to come out, so it will get done. And that's not a 100 days accomplishment. That's just a continuation of COVID relief after COVID relief. And eventually we have to deal with the debt, but that's not today's problem. Biden needs a signature accomplishment because money, spending money isn't a signature accomplishment. I mean, Donald Trump spent $2.4 trillion on COVID relief. It didn't get him reelected, and money that Joe Biden spends now won't get Kamala Harris reelected in 4 years. I don't think Joe Biden's running in 4 years. Maybe I'm wrong. He doesn't look like he's going to be able to run in 4 years. We'll see. I wish him well. I wish him energy and good health. Pray for him every day. That's a Christian's obligation for leaders in government. But he became it became very obvious that his big deal is immigration. Now, this is not a bad choice. First rule of politics is divide your enemies and consolidate your allies. And an immigration bill has the possibility of doing that, but not this bill. I read to you Sungmin Kim, who was on yesterday, and we were talking about this. I want to read to you her report and then ask for your responses. 1-800-520-1234, connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Biden to propose overhaul of immigration laws on first day in office. President-elect Biden will roll out a sweeping overhaul of the nation's immigration laws the day he is inaugurated, including an 8-year path to citizenship for immigrants without legal status and an expansion of refugee admissions, along with an enforcement plan that deploys technology to patrol the border. Does that sound familiar? We tried that under Janet Napolitano. It didn't work. You know what works? Walls work. Biden's legislative proposal, which will be sent to Congress on Wednesday, also includes a heavy focus on addressing the root causes of migration from Central America, a key part of Biden's foreign policy portfolio when he served as vice president. Been there, done that, tried that, doesn't work. Everybody wants to come to America. That's because we're the greatest place in the world to live and will be for the foreseeable future. We are freedom's home. We believe in freedom. The Constitution cannot be improved upon. It can only be imitated. The British Constitution is unique to the island kingdom. It wouldn't work here. But our Constitution guarantees freedom, and people want to be free. So they want to come here. They want opportunity. They want a classless society with no friction to moving, to being able to accumulate wealth, to be able to move and get a house and raise a family and find fine schools. I don't blame everyone in the world for wanting to come. We can't have everyone come. There are two sets of problems here, the people who are in the country without permission and those who want to come into the country. The first problem is pretty easy. Let them all stay. Really, if they're not violent or criminals, let them all stay. We had full employment under President Trump a year ago before the virus struck. There aren't too many people in America. In fact, there aren't enough people. Let them all stay. The conditions of their staying and their conditions of their becoming citizens and able to vote will be negotiated. And the silly stuff about paying a fine and all that stuff, they don't need that. They just need how long to a path to citizenship and how quickly do we deport people who have violence or crime in their life? Because we don't want the dysfunction of MS-13 and other gangs coming in. It's a very small number of the, they say 11 million. I think it's more like 20 million. But it doesn't matter. We had full employment. We don't have enough people. We need more people. And there are lots of other reasons to explain that, but we really need more people. But it's the people on the outside who want to come in that present a very difficult public policy program. Now, Australia and Great Britain have adopted points-based immigration systems, as opposed to family-based immigration systems. Family-based immigration systems are inherently unfair. It's like winning the lottery that you've got an uncle in America. We've got to stop that and begin to allow people to come in based upon the skill sets that they bring to the country and serve the community and the nation. Now, Biden's plan says it will only apply to people who have gotten here by January 1. Now, that's intended to stop rushes to the border, and that makes sense to me. In a significant contrast to the Obama approach, remember, President Obama had both the House and the Senate, and he had filibuster-proof majorities. He could have done anything he wanted, and he didn't do anything on immigration. Joe Biden is leading with immigration, which is great politics, but it's a bad proposal. And so the question becomes, on what will they negotiate? There are 452 miles of wall built. I checked on it this morning. I have tweeted out the latest statistics. The wall needs to be about 800 miles to be completely effective. And then you need surveillance and border patrol, which needs to be beefed up. And you need layered defenses at the southern border. And you need increased surveillance at ports of entry and along the northern border. We have to control the people who come into the country. We have to control visas. This is a security issue. This is an existential issue. But we ought to be able to work on that, because regularization of the, let's say, 15 million people, that's midpoint between the 11 and the 20, let's say 15, that does not bother me, and I don't think it bothers many Republicans. Tom Cotton is on record as opposing amnesty, but amnesty would imply olly olly in free, everyone's a citizen. Not sure if he's opposed to a long period of green card followed by a period of citizenship contingent upon good behavior and community participation, paying your taxes, etc. I'll talk to him as soon as possible about it. But what do you think? 1-800-520-1234. No wall, 8 years to citizenship for anyone who's in the country. That's the Biden proposal. If you're here as of January 1, 8 years from now, you'll be a citizen. And no border wall beyond what's built. What does that fly? 1-800-520-1234. And what would you accept? What's the deal? Because a deal, it can be done here if they don't overcomplicate it. And I hope you're listening, Lindsay. Don't overcomplicate it like last time. Make it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Kiss the old theory. It's Hugh Hewitt. I'll be right back. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run a risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Before I go to your phone calls, 1-800-520-1234, let me check the market, brought to you by Birch Gold. Markets were closed yesterday, because of the Martin Luther King holiday. But worldwide markets never sleep. Now, Birch Gold is, of course, where you buy gold. And I continue to tell you every day, inflation will come. Inflation will come. And you will wish you had got gold when it does come. You can own physical gold yourself, and Birch Gold will sell it to you. Or you can move a portion of your retirement savings. I recommend 10%. Some people do as much as 25%. I like to diversify, and 10% is enough for me. But I recommend you do that via Birch Gold. They physically store the gold in their own repository, and it will be there through inflation, come thick or thin. I don't think you can sit on the sidelines with bonds. I don't think you can sit on the sidelines with annuities. I think inflation will wipe this stuff out within 5 years, given the amount of money that's been printed in response to the virus. And therefore, please go and talk to Birch Gold. How do you find them? Easy. HughGold.com, HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, and for you Steelers fans, it's H-U-G-H, to 474747. Now, I told you yesterday the Dow was down 177. On Friday, the NASDAQ was off 114. The S&P was down 27. Corporate earnings appear to look like they might start to improve based on some glimpses. Overseas today, Japan's market went up 1.4%. Hong Kong went up 2.7%. England and Germany are both positive, and the 10-year Treasury is back up at 1.1%. Gold is trading at $1,844, beginning its what I think will be its steady rise. Remember, Birch Gold, you send my name, Hugh, to 474747. CBS News cast the immigration story this way. Biden plans quick executive action on immigration, but warns of potential delay on legislation. I'll come back to that on the legislation. Let me start in Michigan with Lisa. Good morning, Lisa. You're on the Hugh Hewitt Show. What do you think?
Oh, good morning, Hugh. What I think is, I think that the Republicans need to think more long-term, more devious. The Democrats, to me, are very devious strategists, and I feel they want 4 years with Biden, then Harris, and that's why they picked 8 years, because then, bam, you've got all these new people that are going to vote as citizens for them again. So they would have 3 terms right in a row.
Well, I do believe 8 years is very, very short, and I don't believe the Republicans will go for that. I point out to people that if you're born in America, it takes you 18 years to get to voting. Of course, you have to grow up. You have to be acculturated in America. And people will say, well, those are children. And it's actually a learning process on how to be an American. Yes, it's a child. I don't know why we don't use 18 years from the moment you arrive in the country to vote.
I don't know what their thinking is, but that was what crossed my mind. 8 years just kind of turned the light on, you know, and I thought, what? That's an odd number.
Well, I also think it's an opening bid. It's just far too short a time to reward people who broke the law to come into the country. Now, I'm not vindictive. I don't want to expel anyone. The country can certainly absorb 15 million people. We had full employment with them here. We need them in many respects. It's just a question of citizenship and regularization. Do you agree, Lisa? Oh, Lisa's gone. All right. Thank you, Lisa. Don in Dallas. Good morning, Don in Dallas. How are you?
Pretty good, Hugh. How you doing?
Have you watched News of the World, the new Tom Hanks movie yet?
I hadn't seen that one, no.
It's got Dallas in the 1870s. It's kind of fun. I think it looks pretty much the same.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
You're talking about gold. I don't make that much money. What about buying silver?
Well, silver is precious metals, and yes, I do believe that silver is also a value. I don't follow it the way I follow gold, but yes, I think you can. But I still prefer gold, even if you're not making that much money. You might have a retirement system that you can put some of your retirement into it. But silver is a precious metal, and it retains value. It just doesn't retain value as well as gold. I'll be right back, America. 1-800-520-1234. Connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Where do we go from here, my friend? Is this the way our story ends? Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of American pie. Can't stop singing along.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, thank you for tuning in. The voice of reason in the West this month, and I'll be back on the East Coast before you know it. I am talking to you about President-elect Biden's proposal to lead with an immigration sweeping reform. It will be his signature proposal for his 100 days. Sort of dead on arrival, but it might just be an opening play for negotiation. Detective Tom is calling. I'm glad he is. I want to ask him about the so-called background checks that are coming up. Good morning, Detective Tom, somewhere near Oakland, California. How are you?
Fine. How are you, sir?
Well, you know, I'm kind of happy. I realized yesterday that as a Browns fan, this is the first time in my adult life that I am not saddened by how their season ended.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be disappointed again next year. I'm gone.
No, no, they're building, Tom. They're on their way up. This is the new era. They are the new Packers, the new Patriots.
Yeah, okay, and the Indians are going to bring are going to go ahead and re-sign the shortstop again.
No, Lindor's gone already. He went to the Mets.
No, I know that.
We're screwed.
I'm aware of that. I'm just saying, you know, I'm sorry for all of your fans. All the fans in Cleveland, I'm sorry.
Can I ask you a question before you tee off on me, which you usually do and people love it? In the Biden plan, they proposed background checks on everyone in the country. And I'm using 15 million because nobody really knows. Some people say 11, some people say 20. Let's just say 15 million. Now, I ran OPM for a while, the Office of Personnel Management. And we couldn't do background checks for the civilian employees of the United States government very efficiently. I think this has to be delegated down to the local level to the effective equivalent of draft boards. and detectives like yourself, to no rules, just kind of a, you look at what papers they bring and give them a thumbs up and thumbs down, and the grapevine tells you. And if someone gets a thumb down, they can appeal to a more formal process. But do you think if you were sitting behind a desk and 200 people who want green cards showed up in front of you, you could figure out in a hurry who to say yay to and who to say nay to?
Let me ask you a question. Let me go ahead and answer your question with a question. When you were an OPM, what were the resources you had at your disposal to go ahead and access information to go ahead and confirm people's, I would imagine, very detailed background?
A couple of thousand agents. They weren't FBI agents. They were Office of Security Personnel agents. And this is pre-internet, so they had to do it the old-fashioned way, phone calls, letters, and knocking on doors.
All right, so they had access to birth certificates, criminal records, fingerprints, all of that sort of stuff that we may not have access to if we're bringing in people from, you know, Honduras or Guatemala. Or
correct.
Look, my daughter sent me, this is the segue here, my daughter sent me a video 3 years ago from the late, great Charles Krauthammer, who had a spectacular plan for immigration, and that was, if you're going to go ahead and bring all of these people in, say, for example, you're 15 million people, and we're going to go ahead and regularize them and give them green cards, they don't get citizenship. That's the deal. Your first act to become an American citizen cannot be breaking the law. However, if you go ahead and give birth and have children and they get married, it all works out. All right. So I support the Krauthammer plan. I call to your attention. I think it was a Prager video, I believe. I'd have to go ahead and get it from her again. But the Krauthammer plan made a great deal of sense to me. Now, back to your thing about backgrounds. Look, there is the border is a, and you know, don't take this the wrong way, the Mexican border is not, it's a narco-terrorist state, all right, a slash terrorist state, all right, it is not controlled, the Mexican government does not have that much control of the border, it's controlled by the Zetas and I forget the other guys, the main ones, they're running the border.
And they're making money, bringing people over. You bet.
They sure are. It's a going concern. So, I don't. How do I go ahead and know if somebody's, unless they're, you know, tattooed with Nuestra or Norteño or Sorteño or MS-13 on their forehead? You know, I'm not going to know. And my access to go ahead and find out what their criminal background is, or if, you know, the Hondurans have emptied their jails or their psych wards to go ahead and, you know, get rid of their issues and send them our way.
Now, recall that no one will be eligible under the Biden plan, which will not be the plan if they arrive after January 1. But let me ask you,
January 1 of next year?
No, this year. They want to avoid, if you weren't here at the turn of the...
And how are we going to go ahead? How do we do that? Look, the people that are showing up now that managed to get through, now just go ahead and if they get detained by Homeland Security down there, they are given essentially a ticket, right, with a promise to appear later on at a date, and they don't show up. All right, so they're in the woodwork. That's exactly what's going to go ahead and happen.
Yeah, but most of them of the 15 million. Let's say that 14 million have been here for more than a year. I'm wondering about the enemy, the good must not be the enemy of the perfect. If you sat down at a table and a guy or a gal comes in and lays their paper in front of you and they show they've been working at X, Y, and Z company for 10 years and they've been paying payroll taxes and they have a fake Social Security number that they don't get benefits from, but that's what they needed. And they've got a driver's license.
Where did they get the driver's license? Where did they get the Social Security?
It's all fraud. It's all fake. You know that.
Okay. Well, we want to roll that. We would like to roll that up, would we?
No, I don't think so. I think what I'd like to do is let people stay who are productive people, who are going to church. You know, he belongs to the Knights of Columbus.
I can run you through NCIC and through anything in the FBI if you've been in this country to see if there is a record. There may not be. Okay, we can go ahead and do that. But in terms of what their background was, you know, before they got here, that's
I understand. But what I'm really looking for is, for example, military officers, and I think policemen too, and detectives, grow up doing fit reps, fitness reports on their subordinates, and they learn how to judge character. Can you review a person's file that they bring you and talk to them and conclude, because you are a detective, whether or not they are a good person, worthy of proceeding, or whether or not they need more scrutiny? That's the first level look. Can you do that?
You know who's good at that are the customs guys. All right, it's called consciousness of guilt looks. You know, you have a set of questions that you can ask. And look, remember, the person coming in that's asking for you to go ahead and pass him is already going to go ahead and be nervous, right? So he's already coming in there because he thinks he's got something to hide, but he also wants something. All right, so you can devise a set of questions that might go ahead and flood him up. But again, he's...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
it's called consciousness of guilt questions.
Yeah, because they're called. That's what I call them. All right, you know, it's you know, somebody doesn't say anything long enough. You know, you refuse to go ahead and take you refuse to go ahead and take a field sobriety test for drunk driving. All right, that's considered a consciousness of guilt. We'll take you in and do that, but it's, yeah, you know, you're, no one's rights are being invoked, but it's consciousness of guilt. It's like what you saw out of the Biden thing with the kids' CD, right? The Biden campaign wasn't saying anything about it, right? Consciousness of guilt. Generally, when you're innocent, you're screaming bloody murder. I didn't do it.
Yep.
So consciousness of guilt applies. Look, you can set this up. It's going to take a while. Obviously, they're going to go ahead and spend all the money necessary. I am just opposed to citizenship. You got here. You came over here. You've been staying. It's like sort of fruits of the poisonous tree. You've been staying here illegally. And yes, fine. You've worked your 10 years, whatever it is. You paid your taxes. You may have a little family going, but you don't get to vote. All right.
I think that is going to be a huge sticking point. I believe that Republicans value the vote far more than Democrats do. And not for small reasons, not because they're going to vote Democratic, not Republican. I don't think that's a given, actually. President Trump did very well among Venezuelans and Cubans and Latinos in Florida.
Yeah.
I don't think that's it. I think it is simply we value the vote. And if you've got to live 18 years in the United States from birth to age 18 to vote, that seems to me to be the minimum amount of time necessary to live in the United States to acculturate.
I don't know. I just know when my great grandparents came over from Calabria, Italy, you know, citizenship was big for them. And so,
you're Italian. Can you cook?
I can swear.
I know that, but do you have wedding soup on Christmas Eve?
I know we have fish on Christmas Eve.
Okay. That too. All right, Tom, okay. Good to hear from you, buddy. Thank you. John in Washington, D.C., the city of fences and walls with a president who doesn't believe in them on the border. Have you seen how many walls and fences are around Washington, D.C.?
I walked along Anacostia Park yesterday with my dogs. There's at least 24 to 36 ambulances just sitting in the parking lot of the headquarters for the park police, and who are ready to scoot over to the South Capitol, you know, the foot of the Capitol if called upon.
Everywhere there are fences and walls from the party that says
everywhere.
They don't work. Everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere. And they got the streets blocked off. You can't get out of the. You can go out of the city. You can't get back in. That's cute for somebody that lives a mile from the Capitol. I can't go anywhere.
So what do you think of the immigration proposal?
The problem that everybody's leaving out of this among the English-speaking people is that we are the largest second largest Spanish-speaking country in the world behind Mexico. Now, that, you know, we can do everything we want, but that doesn't necessarily mean that people now have to assimilate and learn English. We are now a bilingual country. Now, the problem may be for the Republicans at the upper level, at the policy level, and come about, you know, what you're talking about, 18 years and this and that. But at the street level, this is an enormous problem, because you look around, going down to Southwest Washington, where around the ballpark, where they're putting up all these marvelous apartment buildings, and every construction worker is Hispanic. You walk into McDonald's, every person behind the counter.
But that's not a problem in my view. Why is it a problem in your view?
But not in your view, because you're a lawyer who thinks at an upper level. But for a kid who lived on this street where the guy was a black guy and he wanted to work alongside two Hispanic guys to build a retaining wall, and they said, they laughed at him and said, I grew up on the street and I can't find a job.
I hear you, but here's the deal about labor markets. That just wasn't true in January. Everybody got a job. And thank you for the call. That, John, January is my lodestar. We don't have enough people. We didn't have enough workers in January. David Drucker comes next on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined by David M. Drucker of the Washington Examiner. You see him on TV as well as a lot. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm great, Hugh. Good morning.
President-elect Biden, the last day of President Trump's presidency, full day of his presidency. President-elect Biden has allowed people to see the glimpse of his immigration program that he is making the cornerstone, the keystone of his first 100 days beyond the COVID relief bill. Do you think it has a chance of passing as it is currently constructed?
No, but I don't think any immigration plan really generally has a chance. I think I caught you on Twitter, and you're right in that there's always, you know, the crux of the problem here is that Republicans who want guarantees of border security before signing off on anything else, that never goes over well with Democrats. And then, you know, Democrats, for their part, who want a path to citizenship, they have trouble winning guarantees of support for that from Republicans. And so we always end up back where we are, which is getting nowhere. And I don't see how anything is going to change this time. I think it's interesting that President-elect Biden has put this out to be one of his priorities within the first 100 days, usually given the difficulties of immigration. And we've seen this with recent presidents. They wait. They try and tackle other things first. They put it off either into the second year or the second term or after the midterm elections as a lead up to the next general election. Biden's coming out of the gate with this first. This is going to satisfy Hispanics in his coalition that have felt Democrats haven't done enough on immigration reform. But it's going to come back to the same disagreement, which is path to citizenship or path to permanent legalization for people here illegally versus guarantees of border security, which for a long time have included a wall, but I should say lately the wall, just because of how people feel about Trump, particularly on the left, the wall, which was difficult to begin with, has become even more politicized over the past 4 years.
So, David, I think that actually there is a grand compromise here, but the previous three attempts were overcomplicated and greeted with suspicion. You just identified question number one is what to do with, let's say, 15 million people. And the answer is regularize them, which is a green card or a purple card. How long until they get to vote? That's citizenship. And what do we do on the border about the people who aren't here? And I believe that without a wall, it won't get through. The wall is 452 miles of 800 to 900 miles built. It's more than halfway done. Will Democrats give on that issue?
I don't believe so, not in the near term. In particular, you know, we've talked about this before. There was a time in the last 20 years when the wall, the idea, the concept of a border wall as a part of a comprehensive solution to the immigration problem had bipartisan support.
Yes.
It has become, in part, I believe, because of the way that President Trump talked about the wall, but not entirely only for that reason, has become politicized. So if Joe Biden, if the new president were to talk about embracing the completion of the wall, his predecessor's wall, it would receive a lot of resistance from Democrats. And I just think that in the near term, that's why going about immigration reform this way as a part of a grand bargain has a great would encounter many challenges, not to mention that our politics right now makes the idea of grand bargains on politically charged issues like this very difficult to accomplish.
But, David, he will be able to get an immigration plan through the House. And if he does, he's going to oblige every incumbent Democrat to vote for it, who's then going to be redistricted. If it is a radical plan, they will lose their new districts. So it is potentially, if you get three quarters of the Republicans and three quarters of the Democrats to agree on an immigration plan, everybody wins. If you get all the Democrats to agree on an immigration plan that can't pass the Senate, every Democrat in a redistricted swing district loses. Is that not the political backdrop?
Well, that's certainly a possible outcome. I think that given that Nancy Pelosi is going to have a 4 or 5 seat majority here, it's not even guaranteed that she can put together a winning coalition, a coalition of votes, 218 votes for an immigration bill, given the facets to it. I mean, they would likely need some Republican votes. And given the Republicans that are there, particularly in the aftermath of the 2018 elections, but even with the seats they gained in 2020, I'm not sure you can get very many, if any, Republican votes for the sort of immigration bill that Democrats are going to favor. And that's if you can get 218 Democrats out of 222. So they've got a challenge to begin with right there. And I don't think anybody's going to want to go out on a limb unless they know that it's got a chance in the Senate. And when
so do you think, Chris, quickly, do you think this was an opening bid or a line in the sand?
I think it was an opening bid, and that's Joe Biden's MO in any event. He's going to want to negotiate.
If that's the case, it's fine. If it's a line in the sand, it's dead. If it's an opening bid, let the negotiations begin. David M. Drucker on Twitter. Thank you, David. I'll be right back. America on. The last day of President Trump's term, it's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.